Welcome to the back to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast. It's been a little bit, but we're back here with you. This is Brad. I've got Ariel and Xavier here with me. How you guys doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, we'll hopefully stumble through this one as we get our legs back under us. It's been
a
while.
How do we do this? Do we talk into the microphones?
Right.
I'm confused.
Yeah, we're going to have to really feel our way through it. So be patient with us. We've got a lot of things to talk about, though. I mean, it's like things have been happening for the past few weeks, even though we haven't had this podcast.
It's shocking. It's big things, even. And we'll touch on one of those a little bit later because it was close enough to this. But pretty amazing. And perhaps the biggest news of all is that Roanoke is over 100,000 people. If I had the ability to do sound effects on my time level, then I would put in some little cheering emotions right now. But
it's back to over 100,000.
Since the 80s.
Since back in the 80s when it was slightly over, and now it's slightly over again, even though we went pretty far. I mean, it like took a big old dip for a while there, and now it's back. And the article in the Roanoke Times was really interesting. It talked about we're still, you know, we still have a pretty small downtown with only 2,500 people, but that's also way bigger than it used to be. So good stats in there. It was a fun article to read.
I don't feel it.
You don't feel the
I
growth?
I feel it sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel it sometimes, like during traffic and stuff in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And then like events, seeing a lot of new faces.
Yeah. All these new apartments.
And stuff like that.
Development.
Yeah.
We're still outpacing births by deaths, though. It's still an older community, technically. But, you know, all the things are changing. And I have to say, it's like, I don't think growth for growth's sake is just the way we should go. But it's nice to see that people are seeing what we all see in Roanoke and moving here and all that.
No, I think I view it as an indicator. It's an indicator that we're doing something right that's attracting other folks. And, you know, it's fraught with problems in some ways. I mean, you know, if it starts going up too quickly, then we have all kinds of affordability questions that come with that. But at the same time, it's nice to know that we're Xavier just head by the mic. That was amazing. But I just look at it as, you know, something we're doing is working, and so let's figure out how to control it, but also how to make it continue to thrive.
Yeah, and you can add suburbs to the list of things millennials are destroying, because according to this article, we millennials are much more likely to move to a city center than the suburbs, which is a change from years past, and that's because we are waiting a little longer in our lives to settle down and have families and things like that. So add it to the list.
So
here we come to destroy the suburbs.
Suburbs, chain restaurants. What else are we killing at this point?
Things like napkins, single serve napkins. That one's on the way out.
Yeah, as it should be.
Yeah, there's a long list. Do you know about this?
No. When you said it, I was like, she's got to be joking.
No, it's all sorts of articles come out all the time about things millennials are, quote, destroying. Like cruises is another one. Just things that we're like not as interested in or don't have the liquidity to do or interest in general, because it's not.
I don't want to get norovirus. I'm not going on some cruise.
See, there you go. Anyway, we could talk about this one for a long time, I think, but we should move on. We have a long list.
Yeah, so one of the big things that happened while we were out was that the city manager in Salem was essentially forced out, and it was quite a contentious decision. There apparently are still a lot of people that don't quite know what's going on with that. A lot of people that were happy with the former city manager, Kevin Bogus, but the big news now is that the assistant city manager is going to be stepping up to replace him temporarily, and as they look for a new full-time city manager. But that's been a bit of a fraught situation the past month or so.
Yep. The article mentioned that the members who voted to remove the city manager cited only philosophical differences in a decision to change directions. So
I think it was a pretty
very diplomatic
thing,
move there, but
as an update that continues our local government focus here, we talked recently about this a couple months ago, but it's now official that the courthouse has been, Roanoke City Courthouse has been now officially changed to the Oliver W. Hill Justice Center in honor of the civil rights attorney. So good stuff there.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, when I saw it, it was just another thing, like, okay, we're in the right steps. We're in the right steps. Because I always look at it for, like, the youth aspect of, like, what they get to see around them. Mm-hmm. And when they see things around them that look like them, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, cool, I can connect with that. Especially, like, the kids that go to Oliver Hill House after school. And then now they know, like, he was so monumental that we're going to name a courthouse after him. So then it's good to see people that look like you being honored, mm-hmm. you know, especially in times like these today. Like, it's really good to see it. And the more and more you look around, the more relatable things become.
Yeah.
And it feels good. It feels good to know, like, I'm going into the Oliver Hill courthouse. Like, he looks like me.
Yeah.
Like, that feels good.
That's great. And it shows another example of the just city council representing what really is Roanoke, the true Roanoke,
yeah.
the like, diverse landscape of Roanoke, not just certain people in Roanoke. And we'll talk probably more about that later when we talk about the bus station a little bit. But I'm just really happy about the way the city council has decided to do that.
Yeah. I mean, even the city council, just if you look at it now, it's just like it's completely different than.
Yeah, majority female on city council for the first time.
Absolutely. So that's
so cool.
It's really cool.
We're moving on to the new things that have happened or are happening business-wise and amenity-wise since we last did the podcast. And one thing is the Garden City Greenway.
Yes. So when was the last time you guys went to Garden City?
I've never been to Garden City. I probably shouldn't have even said that out loud.
I'm just shrugging right now. I don't remember.
I have not been.
It feels like a separate community.
And that's why...
Is it Vinton?
Mm-mm. It's like way, way out there.
Oh my gosh, I'm really shocked.
I know my friend Jordan Bell works there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that it's like another city.
Wow.
It's traditionally like one of the few places that votes Republican within the city limits.
Okay.
And things
okay.
like that. But it's on the other side of Mill Mountain.
Okay. No.
Is it over the mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So like you have to go over to the other side to
over
get
Mill
there.
Mountain and through the woods to Garden City we go. It's how the old children's rhyme goes, I think.
Nice.
We're making up children's
rhymes. I'm going to have to make a field trip over there.
It is fascinating because it doesn't feel like you're still in the city of Roanoke when you get over there. Mm-hmm. And so my main comment was just that I'm very happy that there's another connector now between
Absolutely.
The rest of Roanoke in this somewhat segmented population.
And I know as a cyclist, like people like to ride their bikes out on the Mill Mountain, in the Mill Mountain area, and having that greenway would make it a lot easier for people who are not ready to ride on those curvy, steep mountain roads yet to go out and ride their bike in that area and then maybe get to the point where they're more comfortable riding on the roads. Greenways are a really good low barrier to entry for exercise, which is really helpful.
Yes. So note to all listeners of the podcast, including our hosts, let's all take a trip to Garden City. So.
We'll have to find a person in the neighborhood who will give us a tour around.
Absolutely. Well, maybe Sam on his running tours can
indeed
update us.
Coming up soon, we're going to have two new Starbucks to join the 7 Starbucks that we already have in Roanoke.
So.
One is just replacing the one on Orange, right? Like they're going to make a bigger one?
No, I think it's a totally separate location.
I skimmed the article. I don't remember. One's going in a shopping center and one's going somewhere else.
Yeah, so one's in Salem on Electric Road. And then there's another that's Orange and Blue Hills Drive in Roanoke.
Orange and Blue Hills.
Orange and Blue Hills is not anticipated to open until 2021, but the one on Electric Road in Salem is under construction right now. It should be open later this year.
Hmm.
But this is one that, you know, I think we all have mixed feelings in some way about Starbucks. You know, I worked for them for many years and myself have mixed feelings about it. But I will say, I look at it as another one of those indicators that if Starbucks thinks it's worth investing in two new stores,
they know something's going on.
That's a pretty good indicator. Yeah. They don't do that unless they know
this is
money
very
to be
true.
Made out of that. So,
yep. I mean, people work out of coffee shops, like as you know, people who work in the remote working and freelancer community. You know, when you go into a coffee shop at like 11 a.m., the people who are there are probably working, and Starbucks is well suited for that kind of activity. So people are moving here, trailing spouses need a place to go. Starbucks is seeing that. they definitely have their finger on the pulse. They wouldn't be doing this for no reason.
Yeah.
People gotta have their coffee in Starbucks.
No, I'm just saying invest in the city because before somebody, you know, you want to do it.
That's the bottom, right? These are investments that other people are making. Yeah. So.
Well,
and that's people from the outside that are seeing it.
True.
You know, looking at it like, oh, that city's on the brink.
Ooh.
Let's go ahead and drop some money in there.
They have 100,033 people.
Right.
But bringing it local, what's nice to see, from my opinion, I think we all share this opinion, is the local people investing in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited to say that Farm Burguesa is the burger place in Benton is opening a second location in Granite Village.
Yes.
In the red Kabuto building that has been vacant since I moved here 5 years ago, probably longer.
Can I just say that was a beautiful transition?
Thank you.
That was a beautiful
transition. For the last few months when we've been not doing this, I've been really practicing my transitions. Thank you so much.
They have really good burgers.
I'm personally concerned about what this is going to do to my health, but very excited that it's going to be here in the Granite Road area.
And they'll be right next to Taza and all the other restaurants that are here. It's just
so
Belly Alley over here in Granite. But Kat and Jimmy Pascal, awesome folks that we have known for a long time and are great entrepreneurs in the region and really saw a need for this sort of local burger joint that we all love. And they're headed to Granite. In that really cool space that has just been sitting there underutilized. So,
yeah,
if we can just put somebody in that stupid laundromat, then we'd have
laundromat,
fill out that little
next way. To the red building. It's like where the bus stop is next to the gas station. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple other spots that need to be filled, but it'll happen.
It'll happen. It's exciting.
Indeed.
Well, we got a couple regional / statewide things to share here. One being that you may have seen this in the news or maybe not, that there have been across the country people that have been marching on their local state houses, teachers in particular, asking for more educational funding. I think this is something that we all can understand why we should probably be investing more in education, although it's always hard to know how to do that. But just want to comment on that and leave it out there that there are locals involved in this, but it's a statewide thing happening to push for that. And hopefully we'll see more support for our public education.
Yeah, it sounds like on Monday that they made an announcement that their budget will include a 5% pay raise for teachers, which I don't know all the ripple effect of that and what that really means. And I don't know if it'll actually happen, but at least, we'll see if there's proof in the pudding there.
But I think we only have to look south to our neighbors, North Carolina, to know what happens when you gut your public education budget and how that can go south in a hurry. So anyway, good to see we're on the opposite side of that. But now, in a bit of an odd news that I really don't understand how this is going to work.
That's what I'm reading.
One of the more interesting, and apparently a number of the transportation folks are interested in it, ways that people are now looking at combating traffic on 81 is by putting trucks on trains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this sounded like sci-fi plot, sort of. Literally, apparently you can Google rolling highway and see some examples of this, but they literally stack like 30 trucks on the trains for any truck that doesn't need to stop in Virginia at all and just truck them through to alleviate congestion on the highway, which would basically replace the need to widen the highway. You can also call it the steel interstate. I don't know. This whole thing seems wacky, but as a person who really loves sci-fi plots and stuff, I'm like, ooh, this, I mean, it does sound like science fiction in some ways. You could totally make a movie out of it and I would watch it and call it Rolling Highway, which sounds like a movie.
And it's got a bit of a Mad Max premise.
Totally. Yeah. People are like popping out of their trucks and climbing on top of them and jumping into the other trucks while they're on the train.
I have to confess to not quite getting it, where the savings and money is supposed to come from. I just don't.
I don't think it's really a savings. It's just that they wouldn't have to do major construction.
Put the money into the construction.
Well, but if I'm not wrong, they'd have to put in pretty major construction in terms of putting a rail line that ran parallel to the rail lines that
exist.
They
can't just put them on an existing rail line?
I think there's too much traffic on existing rail
lines. Well, folks, we'll just keep you posted. I'm going to definitely in the newsletter put some info about the rolling highway.
I hope we can have a picture of what that would an artist rendering of what we imagine it would look like. And you know, it's one of those things that I'm always happy to see creative solutions proposed. And if it really works, I'd love to see it. But I have to be a little bit skeptical given that I just don't logistically understand how it works. But then again, I don't understand why we would take trucks to take our trash to put it on a train and then dump out that train and put it back on trucks to go dump it in the dump. So apparently that worked. So who knows? Well, this is the contentious portion of the show, I suppose, where we talk about the bus station plans that have been generating great feedback about downtown Roanoke. I have to confess that when I saw the plans, I didn't even think twice about it, but apparently a lot of folks did.
Yeah, the news stories that have been coming out over the past few weeks about the new proposed bus station in the parking lot in front of the Transportation Museum downtown received general support, but there was a lot of very particular negative commentary at a city council meeting where they were voting on moving the plans forward about the concerns for the safety of residents and other deterring factors for the bus station. And we actually, the three of us, got to talk about it during a meeting off air one time and spoke about just the very difficult nature of what happened in the city council meeting and the language that was used by our fellow residents of Roanoke. And another vote in support of city council and their way of handling that.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really hard with all of these kind of NIMBY situations, which is not in my backyard.
Does everybody know what that means?
I just kind of look at it and I'm just like, with the comments that were made and the crime and concerns for safety, it's just like, go to these places, go to these areas of concern before you speak on them.
Right.
And, you know, prejudge, you know, just based off of media. Like, go to these places and meet the people and you know, learn about them. Like, go to the events over on that side. I hate even reading stuff like this because it's just like, you don't know these people just to say, put this prejudgment on them, a whole group of people.
Yeah, bus riders. That is not like a type of person. Right. So many types of people ride the bus and they deserve whatever transportation access they need. Like,
you never know who's riding the bus.
Like, yeah.
Like, I could be riding the bus if my car breaks down one day. Like, it.
Yeah, we could all ride the bus. Right. I mean, I've ridden the bus to Richmond before. Like,
many times. So,
anyway.
And so, you know, I do think, you know, with all these situations where there's something like this, you know, like, you know, you can compare it to, like, you know, they wanted to widen Franklin Road to four lanes for a while through Old Southwest, and Old Southwest got mad about it, and so it didn't happen. And it's one of these things where it's like, okay, like, I kind of understand that it's going to change things for that. Those folks that are right around.
And people
that
have a hard time with change in general.
Yeah, but I was going to say that. I think that's a main thing since I've moved back here.
It's really hard to get behind someone or support someone when they're using the kind of coded language that was used out there. And that, like, you know, I understand your concern, but just you've kind of lost a lot of footing by what the way you talk about it.
But thankfully, the people who are voted to represent our city were very quick to call people out on that kind of language and sort of course correct and be like, actually, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the needs of the public and not your feelings of like judgment on these people. So kudos to you guys. And as the bus station is going to take a really long time to be built, so that'll be news for a long time.
It's also worth noting that this is not the first choice for the city to put this bus station. Oh. That they wanted to put it, if you guys know kind of where that parking lot is right behind where the current bus station is, right where they kind of put some of the train stuff, they wanted to put it there, but the cost was prohibitive because of what they wanted for that parking lot. And so it's one of these things where, you know, they're kind of going to piss people off one way or the other. You know, it's going to cost a fortune to put it where it really should go, and so we can't do that, and so this is the next best situation where we're saving the city a ton of money to do it, and unfortunately these folks are not have another reason to complain about it now. So anyway, they just have to understand how difficult any decision is to make in these situations. So,
yeah
And don't talk about people this way. That's the other key part. Don't talk about that element. Please don't say those words. Anyway, one more kind of state thing that we wanted to share.
Two more.
Oh, excuse me.
We're nearing the end.
What it's just that one of the members of the state Supreme Court has stepped down, Elizabeth McClanahan. So that's going to give the Republicans in the majority in the state legislature a chance to appoint a new person that will serve a 12-year term. So there's, you know, the state Supreme Court doesn't get a lot of press, but they are involved in some things. So it was noteworthy that Elizabeth McClanahan was the deciding vote, apparently, on a case that involved someone who hung a noose in their front yard to make sure that that remained a crime and people were not allowed to put nooses where people could see them, which is probably a good thing. But you probably also leaned in the direction of the right over the longer term, so probably not expecting too great of a change with whoever steps in her stead at this point.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service, and keep your eyes peeled for who comes next. I hear Xavier is applying for the term. So
no, far from that. I hope whoever steps up is just right-minded. I definitely hope that their mind is ready for that responsibility.
Absolutely. It's a big one.
It is a big one.
Speaking of big ones, ooh, that was not a good transition. Medicaid. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal, yeah.
And it has been expanded. There's a really nice piece, a long, very like in-depth piece on the impact of the expansion of Medicaid into further Southwest Virginia and how that's impacting not only the individuals there, but the just general, the way that that area is moving economically and all of that. I mean, there's so much to cover in this.
I would really point everybody to go check out the article in the Roanoke Times. It's really well worth your time. And I do want to take a moment to just appreciate that, this has been a very partisan issue, and it took some people stepping over the partisan divide to make it happen. And I think that we're seeing the benefits of what can happen when we can kind of step out of that mold and make this really about what's best for people. And
the story was so interesting because what it came down to was the leadership actually hearing the stories of the individuals who were affected by the lack of good health care in the area and the children who were not well, and realizing that not only is that not the way a community should live, but also that if you don't have healthy people, you're not going to have a sustainable workforce. You're not going to be able to recruit industry. People are going to try to leave all the time where there's more opportunities and more healthy living like amenities. So in the article, it mentioned that it was portrayed as an economic development issue, which a lot of that sort of stuff can totally go above and beyond party lines, which is, it's all about framing and how you package these stories, but that seemed to work really well. So I don't know. It was a really interesting article. We'll definitely put it in the newsletter.
Well, and for those of you that are out there and don't have health insurance right now and are would be considered low income, there are now potential places where you can look for your health insurance. So please go. There are a lot of places you can call 211, but there are other places you can find that information. So go out and get yourself some insurance. So
take care of your teeth. Just saying. I got teeth on the mind. But truly, your dental health impacts your overall health. It's not just like your mouth.
Well, speaking of teeth that are very hard to clean, let's talk about...
I was like, how is this going to... Oh.
Let's kind of talk about the fact that the Cat Fanciers Association All Breed Cat Show took place this weekend at the Holiday Inn, which I am just amazed about, and I'm so happy.
Brad's a cat person.
I am a cat person, but I also recognize the absurdity of cats, and that this strikes me as very absurd.
I feel like a cat show is the quintessential thing that they make, they like poke fun at in movies where somebody's trying to come up in the world of journalism or photographic journalism, and they say like, go cover this fluff piece, and it's like always a cat show or a cat fashion show. I feel like there's multiple movies that do that.
I'm allergic, so.
Oh, ooh, don't go to the cat show.
I will not.
No. We're gonna,
there's some hairy
I tell you what, we're going to host a special... What are the hypoallergenic cat show, just so you can attend?
Yeah, I'm just not a cat person.
The Sphinx cat.
Even if I wasn't allergic, I'm just not a cat person. They're like too independent.
Yeah.
They're just like, I don't need you. Like, and I like dogs that like greet and like they have personalities. And
oh, I bet there's some cat people out there being like, you don't know my cat.
Right.
Yeah, there are definitely great cats in the world, and even some that act like dogs, I hear. And my dog acts kind of like a cat, so whatever. But this was a 20th anniversary show, so congratulations to the Roanoke Cat Fanciers Association for having 20 of these. And there were 160 cats there.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cat. I just can't even imagine.
I cannot imagine. Even as a cat person, I imagine it smelled very bad.
Oh, I doubt it, right? They probably have like... very clean. I don't know. Fancy litter. Anyway, I bet it was noisy. A lot of noise. We've reached the end of our news and current events update, and we're moving on to the section we all love, which is spotlights and events. Brad.
All right, well, I'll kick us off. Our business spotlight this week is Northwest Hardware. They have several locations around town. I personally prefer the one with the big frying pan on Williamson Road, but you can also find them on Brambleton. I believe they have one other location that I have not ventured to find at this point, but just a great place to find whatever you need for your home improvement or other tasks that you might be working on in a local place, and very helpful. Support your local hardware store.
Yeah, we love the one on Brambleton. It's near our house, so we go there for various needs.
Also kind of cool. If you have a young child that's never seen one of the old-fashioned key-making things where instead of just sticking it in a machine, they actually carve it, they have one of those, which is cool to watch them make keys on that. But anyway.
Very helpful, folks.
What do we got for food this week?
So we're going to flip-flop since we're all doing it different anyway. I'm going to do the food/beverage spotlight for the week. I stopped by Roasters Next Door, the relatively new coffee shop in Wasina this morning. It's a kind of a pop-up location in the Mead tasting room for now, but starting sometime, hopefully early March, Stefan and his business will be moving to the neighboring joint, which is a purple building now. It's like you can't miss it. It's purple, and opening a full service coffee shop. And I have to say, he has very delicious coffee. It's really nice to see that kind of amenity in Wasina. That whole strip of Main Street stores is all getting renovated and developed. And I don't know, every little Main Street needs a coffee shop. So I'm really happy to have him. The coffee's amazing. If you're a coffee snob, he will tell you all about each blend and how it's really tasty.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when that bridge closes down, whether that really hurts those folks or whether it creates like a cool destination vibe for that, which I'm kind of hopeful is what happens.
It's pretty easy to access that Main Street area via the Greenway also. Mm-hmm. If you kind of cross the bridge from the Black Dog area and come back up into that neighborhood, you pop right in there right before you get to Green Goat. So if you're out on your bike, you can just stop on by.
You should probably, like, when you start your day, you go, you get your coffee, then you ride your bike for several hours, and you come back and you get toasted on some delicious adult beverages at Green Goat or Wasina Tap Room over lunch, and you're just done for the rest of the day.
Yeah, look at that. All right,
Xavier, what do you got for us?
So the next one is arts and culture. It's Black History Month, so... that touches on a little bit of art, the culture. So we have the African-American Film Festival, which is at Grandin Theater. They have movies showing February 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th. So that should be good. I am hosting an event called The Speakeasy February 22nd. That's a Friday. at the 601 building where the Humble Hustle shop is. Come by, hear some poetry. Rihanna Roper is singing. The Lazy Man Dub Band is playing. It's all black attire. There'll be vendors, there'll be food, there'll be a cash bar, raffles. So it should be a really good time.
So nice. I have two questions for
you. Yes, sir.
Do I have to wear a hat?
A hat?
I mean, like old-fashioned 30s. Like oh, speakeasy. No.
Yeah, so like it's really called the speakeasy, and we're doing passwords and stuff like that too. So it's really cool the way we have it set up. But you do not have to wear a hat. Okay. We just ask that everybody wears all black.
Got it. Can do.
That's gonna be
our
hat.
Would have been a deal breaker for me. I don't have any hats.
You don't have any black clothes?
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Just I have a find lot. Like
I
a
threw them out after I left Starbucks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Well, black clothes are easy to find. It's a pretty popular color for clothes. That's cool. I'm excited to learn more about that.
It should be really fun.
Our last one
was really, really, really big. It was packed out. It was the only standing room left. So, you know, with the headliners that we have, Ashley Rame, who does the soul sessions, and me and her hosting it, our line of poetry, Rihanna, the band, the vendors. I think it's going to be really, really, really dope.
Is it an evening event?
Mm-hmm. It's a nighttime event. It starts at 7:30. From 7:30 to 8:30 is kind of like the networking, like happy hour. Mm-hmm. People kind of walk around, vendors and stuff, and then at 8:30 the show starts.
Cool. So, that's great.
Yeah,
we'll add that as an event to the newsletter along with a couple other events that we've got listed here. So definitely make sure you sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely.
RoanokeWeekly.com. And from there you can link to where we put the podcast, which is pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts and you can subscribe. We are back on our weekly routine now, so expect us. We will be recording a little bit later in the week from now on, so just know there will be a little change there. Just we all work a million jobs, so we've had to really shuffle it around. But happy to be back. We missed doing this. So,
indeed. And if you would like to be a sponsor, we are welcoming sponsors to the program.
Just cutting right to the chase there. if you want to be a partner or get involved somehow, let us know.
But more importantly than that, please do like and subscribe and do all of that stuff and write nice things about us online. We appreciate everything.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. It's great to be
back.
Thank
you.
See you all next week.
Okay.